We're live.
Live!
From the Twin Cities with the Bob Sansevier Show. Great guests, interviews, and over 30 years of sports insight.
I'm pretty good at my job.
Here's the host of the show, Bob Sansevier.
It was his game last game, and I thought that was one of the best games that he's played, if not the best game, you know, from a scoring chance standpoint. He was involved in a lot of plays, both setting up and getting the direct chances himself. You know, obviously had a physical impact in the game right from the start, and he's been bringing that consistently to us. And, you know, I feel that him and Mikko have got some good chemistry together, and, you know, Nino had some flashes and had some moments there yesterday, but you know we've got to try to find the right mix there on the left side, and we'll give Nino another opportunity, and hopefully that works.
Mike Yo talking about Nino Niederreiter, and breaking news. Where is that little sounder you got there? Big Viking news. Ready for that? Ready for this? Adrian Peterson has not been traded yet. Maybe not ever. But that's news. Today's the big day. It's the start of the new NFL season. They started today in 59 minutes, you officially and formally can sign players, trade players. Things can move around. Now, you've been scanning the wire here. You told me Chris Culliver that the Vikings are interested in. They want a cornerback. That's obvious.
Yeah.
Which they need to do. They have to get a cornerback.
Yeah, they need somebody that can be the second cornerback. Behind Xavier Rhodes in front of Captain
Darrell Revis.
Why not?
Why the heck not? I bet he'd love playing for this Mike Zimmer, you know, for his that type of coach and that type of style. Just put him out there on an island and he's good. You got nothing to worry about.
The $17 million that we'd probably be paying him would worry me a bit.
I'll tell you what. If you could get a first and something else for Adrian Peterson, I think Culliver helps make you a better team. Yeah, I know he does. I mean, look what he did for the Patriots. You did not have to worry. And look, with all the receivers, the great receivers you have in the NFC North, Brandon Marshall's not going to be here anymore.
That's good.
Yeah, that is good. But, I mean, you still have some terrific ones with the, you know, Jordy Nelson and, you know, the re-signing of Randall Cobb in Green Bay. You got Beast Mode in Detroit. You still got
Megatron.
What's that?
Megatron.
Oh, Megatron. Beast Mode. Megatron in Detroit. I got to keep on with my beasts and megas. You've got him in Detroit. Chicago still has Alshon Jeffrey. They're still terrific receivers in this division. But if you get Darrell Revis, life becomes a lot easier for you.
Absolutely.
You know, and then thought it was going to be a very good cornerback. You're number two, and then you could still find another one.
And
they're not even in the mix for Darrell Revis.
No, they reached out to Bradley Fletcher from Philadelphia, Devon House from Green Bay, and then a linebacker, Brooks Reed from Houston. And there are rumors of going after Stephen Ridley, but that's if we cannot retain Adrian Peterson.
But see, the Adrian Peterson thing, what's intriguing about that or interesting, we're going to know in a couple of days because teams are going to start spending money. There's a flurry early, then there's a little bit of a break, but the teams that really need running backs are going to fill their needs. And the Colts now, Frank Gore is going to the Colts.
Yeah.
So that eliminates DeMarco Murray going to the Colts. So now does that mean Murray gets courted by the Arizona Cardinals? And it's really weird what happened with him. Him and the agent for DeMarco Murray and the Cowboys haven't talked in a couple of weeks. Last night, for the first time, they had conversations. You don't hold off that long unless you have a plan. And I've been, you know, we all wonder if Adrian Peterson's part of the plan. But if DeMarco Murray winds up re-signing with Dallas or going to Arizona, that Dallas thing is still open, or Arizona is. But I would say certainly the Colts have closed with Frank Gore signing there. Philadelphia, I can't see them. They're not going to want Adrian Peterson. He doesn't fit the type of offense where you need a good receiving running back there, and he doesn't fit that. So that's not going to work out there.
Does San Francisco open up as a destination for DeMarco?
Possibly. But they...
I think they like what they have in Carlos Hyde.
I do, too. I think that's why they had no trouble letting, you know, not worrying about Frank Gore. Because they want to, I mean, they want to build with what they have in young guys. And they have a lot of building to do there.
Yes, they do.
But this is a fun day in the NFL, because this is where a lot, and the thing about it is, okay, let's, the guys that are ranked, the free agents that are ranked already, the top free agent was Ndamukong Suh. He's already going to Miami. Justin Houston, the defensive end from Kansas City, he was franchised. The third ranked was Dez Bryant, franchised by the Cowboys, not going anywhere. Demaryius Thomas, the fourth ranked, well, he's not going anywhere either. He was franchised. The fifth ranked, and I would argue with this too, Darrell Revis, The Patriots didn't pick up the option. He could still wind up there for different money, but everybody, you know, everybody but the Vikings wanted. The Browns are interested in him. You know, the Jets would love to get him. I know the Bills would love to get him. You know, reunite him with Rex Ryan. But there are a number of teams that want this guy. But why shouldn't the Vikings be in the mix when you play in the NFC North? That should be a mandate. You know what? Instead of going for these guys that are second-tier cornerbacks, they should be saying, let's spend our money on Darrelle Revis. Then they don't have to worry about their secondary as much. They can pick up someone, a lower-level. It won't take much to get another safety better than what they had opposite Harrison Smith.
Sounds like they really want to refrain from spending a lot of money because they went after Devin McCourty when they could contact the Patriots representatives and say, hey, let's talk to that guy. But once the price tag got up over $8 million, we backed out.
But why when you have the money to spend? I don't understand that thinking. You want to make yourself a championship team. There are few players who can do that for you, and Darrelle Revis happens to be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand why you wouldn't be in the mix for this guy and see where you can go with it. But all right, he is the best available free agent. He's not going to last long at all. Jason Pierre-Paul franchised by the Giants. Randall Cobb re-signed 4 years with the Packers. Devin McCourty, the report is he's going to stay and re-sign with the Patriots. And then you get down to the offensive tackle, Brian Beluga. The latest on him is that he's going to stay in Green Bay, an offensive tackle there. Then you get this Pernell McPhee. Looks like he's going to go from the Ravens to the Bears. The report is he agreed to terms with them. And then DeMarco Murray, he's the 11th ranked free agent out there. It's kind of sad when the top rushing running back in the NFL is 11th on that list. And then we'll just take you a few more. Just to give you an idea, there's not a, at the top, there's only a few guys that are still available. And by the way, you want to weigh in on this. I know we have a lot of Viking fans and NFL fans. 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105. Would love to hear your take on things if you'd like to share it. But Julius Thomas signing with it. Why the Jaguars? It had to be the money.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Nine to 10 million a year.
But why wouldn't this guy, why would he want to go to a team that's going to make it to the, be a Super Bowl contender? Why not? I'm guessing New England didn't have the cap space to try to do it, but you put him with Gronk? That's one hell of a formidable tight ends.
But it's the Peyton Manning complex or whatever you want to call it. These receivers know that their best option to make money in the NFL is to go elsewhere because Denver's not going to give them the same because
no.
they can just plug anybody in and Peyton Manning's going to make
them
look
Thomas,
good.
He's still a pretty good tight end.
Yeah.
And I think that he is, you know, you put him with Tom Brady, he's not going to look bad. Not him because they're still trying to recapture despite winning the Super Bowl, having the big time two tight ends with what they had with Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez that allegedly murdering so-and-so.
We'll see what Tim Wright brings to the table for them, and we'll see if Max Williams is on the board for them when they draft.
That could be their plan. I think Max is going to be gone before then. I think he's going to wind up in Dallas because they need a young tight end, and that's one way to get it, and he's going to be terrific wherever he goes. The 13th-ranked player, Rodney Hudson, guard from Kansas City, agrees to terms with the Raiders. Greg Hart, yeah, Greg Hardy, he's with Carolina. Nobody's going to touch him. Nick Fairley. This is bad for them if they lose Nick Fairley.
Yeah.
You know, Sue and Fairley gone.
All of a sudden, everybody can run on them when they've been stopping.
Yeah, it's like
everybody
all
from running the ball on them.
It's like having these really strong teeth, then you got your front two knocked out. And then the water just swishes around in there, and you whistle a lot when you're talking. Attaboy. He wasn't this giggly yesterday when we had him on from Florida.
Must be something in the air down
Tom
there.
Tom Schreier.
Relaxes him.
The giggle monster. And then you're down to the ranked 16th among free agents. Byron Maxwell, cornerback. The report is he will sign again with the go from Seattle to the Eagles. He'd be pretty good, too. He's no Darrelle Revis, but he's a pretty good one. And then you're down to outside linebacker Brian Arapco with the Redskins. Nothing new on him. Iopati, who his name came up briefly with the Vikings. But then, you know, there was talk they wanted the kid from the Bengals.
Yeah. I think we just wanted to see if we could lowball Ayupati.
Well, they seem to have made a real good, getting real good at the lowballing part. And Torrey, you know, San Francisco seems to be a place where these former Baltimore Raven receivers wind up.
Yeah.
Because now Torrey Smith is expected to sign there. But I go back to Darrelle Revis. Why not be in the mix? At least see what you can do. Why are you saving? Who are you saving the money for?
Try and get him a meeting between Zimmer and Revis.
Yes.
See what happens.
And I guarantee you, Zimmer will certainly impress the hell out of him, and he'll have him wanting to play for him.
Yeah.
But I don't think this guy in the Browns is anything special. You know, the money's there. Revis is going to want to, if you're Darrell Revis, you've won your Super Bowl. So now, unless you're driven to get another one, which a lot of guys should, this might be the money drive.
Well, if he goes to the
Browns,
now
it's about the money.
You put Revis and Hayden as their top two corners, they instantly become the best pairing in the league.
However, there's a lot of other issues on that team.
Yeah.
Like, you got a quarterback who's, most guys go in for a rehab, spend 28 days, and, you know, they come out and talking about how great it was and how they've got this new lease on life. Young Johnny Manziel has extended his 28-day stay. He's becoming a lifer.
And what else do they even have on that offense in Cleveland? They don't have a running back.
They don't have a wide receiver. He's been suspended for the year.
They have Joe Thomas.
Yeah, it's great to have a tackle.
It'll score a lot of points for you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, tackle eligible. There's always that possibility. But it's, I love this day because there's going to be a lot of things that happen are going to happen while we're on the air till 4, because 4 o'clock Eastern time is when things pop. Who's on that line?
John from Minneapolis.
John, how are you?
What's up, fellas?
Hey, what are you thinking?
What I'm thinking is I'm going against the grain. I'm going outside the box. I want Peterson and Percy Harvin back. And I'll tell you why. If I'm not mistaken, the Packers re-signed Randall Cobb.
They did.
That gives them their Percy Harvin effect. That's what I call Randall Cobb because he can do so much. As of right now, if you look at our team, the Vikings, we don't have anyone on the team to come close to Percy Harvin. We don't have anyone on this team to come close to Adrian Peterson. I'm saying this. People need to let the past be the past. This is all about the NFL. It's a business, and if you can't handle your business, you're going to be sitting at home wondering why you're not in the playoffs.
You know what? I am so glad you brought it up because we were going to talk about Percy. There's a lot of teams interested, but a lot of teams are going to be a little scared off. This is not the same team that he left. It's
that's
a new coach.
I can't get people to understand. Christian Ponder is in the wind. There's no reason for Percy Harvin to be tripping about the quarterback because he had first watchability on when the Vikings played the Jets last season. He know what that man can do.
Teddy Bridgewater is going to be terrific, and he would be a perfect compliment for him. And actually, I like the idea. If you're not going to trade AP, having him again and Percy and your offense, there's so many things you can do with it. And Percy Harvin, he has to have learned. You know, he would be a fool not to have learned some of the mistakes that he's made and matured. And again, North Turner will make sure he's featured.
There you go. Now, and one more thing. The Vikings need to also address their defense. Why not bring Vince Wilfork in if it's possible?
But I tell you what, that'd be a load in the middle. What do you think of my Darrell Revis? Why not go after him?
He's gone.
Oh, he left.
But I kind of do like that idea of bringing in Wilfork, because I know we want another D-tackle to do the rotation system that Zimmer likes to do, and we'd keep him fresh.
Well,
He's a big boy.
You know what the beauty is about him? You really could play like a 3-3 and have five in the secondary at all times. Put him there, it's like having two guys right in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
It's not one guy. That man's a big fella.
With Linval and Sharif Floyd and now the re-signing of Tom Johnson, I don't see us bringing in a big name like that at D-tackle.
They're not going to. What they'll look for, I think we talked to Chris Thomason about it, they'll look for another defensive end to give him some depth and maybe to give him a little more action on the outside on Robinson's side. Now, Robinson got some pressure, but did not get the sacks that a lot of people expected from him. You gotta get another defensive end, at least a backup. You have to shore up. Make sure you know what you're doing at linebacker. The idea of going after a cornerback, you don't want to have the growing pains you will have with a rookie cornerback. So getting a good veteran quarterback makes sense. And I still say you got the money. At least make a bid for Darrell Revis. Let Mike Zimmer sit down with him and court the guy and see what you can do there. That would be an enormous... In this division of all divisions, suddenly you got a guy, him and Megatron, well, good luck. You're basically playing the other receiver. You're playing that goofball that came from Seattle. What was it? What the hell's his name?
Tate. Golden Tate.
Golden Tate. I kept thinking Golden Richards. That was a whole other story.
That's close.
Yeah, well, it was another Golden. But That would be big, and that would be huge. Huge! Anyway, let's take a quick break. When we come back, talk to Dave Schwartz from the number 11. He's on Sunday mornings on the ticket. We'll talk to him a little bit about the Wild. Talk to him about the Vikings, too, because this is a day that belongs to your Vikings. Let's see what they can do today, tomorrow, and every other day out there. They got to do something in free agency, make a big splash. We'll see what happens. Come back with Dave Schwartz.
The Bob Sansevier Show, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Now, I personally don't mind that music, but let's see what our guest thinks for that walk-up, talk-up sound. Dave Schwartz, the number 11, what do you think?
I like it.
All right, glad you like it, because sometimes he's really whiffed.
No, that was great. I like it.
Dave does the Benchwarmers show on the ticket, 10 to 11 on Sundays with That's Jill Hammy.
That's correct.
And you're coming. You're going to be closing out your first month soon.
We are. We have three shows. Yeah, so our first month is Sunday. So if you haven't listened yet, I don't know what you're waiting for, people. Let's get on board.
Now, are you having a party or having cake?
You know, we'll see. I don't know if we can afford any cake yet, but maybe a cupcake.
Well, you can split the cupcake.
We'll split a Twinkie.
Twinkie.
Twinkies, they come in too.
You know, there might be some Twinkies laying around from, I think, when Disney owned the whole place, only about 15 years ago. They last like decades, so that would work out.
Yeah, them and cockroaches will survive an apocalypse.
Now, Dave, we were just talking about a guy called in. It was John from Minneapolis. He wants the Vikings to bring back Percy Harvin. I don't think it's a bad idea to look into it. It's a new coaching staff. I think Norv Turner and I think Percy Harvin would respect Norv, and he has to have learned from what happened in Seattle and the fact that the Jets are releasing him. If they haven't done it already, it'll be done before 4 o'clock because they don't want him, you know, hitting their cap. But that would not be a bad move. That would, with Teddy Bridgewater throwing the ball, I think Percy would love Teddy.
I think it's a bad idea.
You're wrong.
Any player that can't get along with Pete Carroll, because all his players love him, and Pete Carroll's a player's coach. And now it doesn't surprise me if you want to tell me he didn't get along with Rex Ryan or in a Jets system with a bad quarterbacking situation. But he was not happy in Seattle with a coach that loves all their players, with one of the best quarterbacks in the game. Granted, he was injured for some of that, but I just don't buy him. And I gotta believe that Rick Spielman maybe learns from his mistakes. I think it's a horrible idea. I really do.
Well, I take exception to that because
I don't buy it.
Now, Dave, I have to give some background here. I have, and I've talked about it on the air. I did foster care. And we did have kids in foster care with us who had oppositional defiance disorder. I have I'm not going to sit here and do a diagnosis, but he gives every sign of having that. And it is a matter, it's a matter of growing and maturing because they argue with everything. I think Randy Moss had a touch of it too.
And that's fine, but I don't think that affects his physical makeup, and the guy's always injured. I mean, he's barely played a full season since he's been in the league, let alone the last couple. I think whatever you're going to try to pay him, and I think it's...
He's not going to come for a lot. He's going to have... Because he's not going to have... There won't be a conga line of teams lined up to get him. But I think it's worth at least looking into to see what kind of money it would cost, because I do think he has such a skill set, and I do think he has the right coaching staff to deal with him. They're not going to be run roughshod over the way Leslie Frazier was. And
correct.
I still don't know. I mean, I think I knew Pete Carroll and got along great with him when he was an assistant here. I don't know. None of us really know what truly did happen there. But there was a lot of players in that locker room that were pissed when he left. Just think back to the Seahawks. That's when they had their dip during the season when they struggled mightily because they were all bothered by the fact that they had let him go. So he got along. He had friends among players, but he does have issues with authority. I do think he has to have learned. How do you not learn after going now to your third team or fourth?
The egos on these athletes are more than anything we can fathom, and that they always think that they're right and that they've never been told that they're wrong, and that there can be a line of 50 coaches and GMs that tell them they're wrong, and it's not till years after they're done that they realize it. And I don't think it's a risk of bringing, I think the risk is not worth bringing him in the locker room simply for the fact that you have young guys on this team who you don't want to be spoiled, not spoiled, but at least
well, you don't want him tainted
because on the coaching staff, you don't want him to be a cancer like Randy Moss was when he came.
He greatly influenced negatively Percy Harvin. Percy was actually not as bad of a problem, but Randy told him, "Yeah, you can do what you want. You're a superstar."
Exactly,
but
and he listened.
Yes, he did. And in some ways, that whole superstar mentality, that's what the Vikings are dealing with now with Adrian Peterson, who has been able to somehow make himself into the victim. You know, that's what this is all about now. He should be grateful that they want to get him back, and when they're all saying they want him to play for him, but he's not. You know, he's upset with them for not standing by him. That one I'll never understand.
The NFL has helped make him into the victim here, too, with some very poor choices and some bad way of handling things. They've somehow made this whole situation turned around, and now they look like the bad guys because they're terrible with their own public relations.
Yes. You will not get an argument. I'll argue a bit about Percy because I, you know what, and I'm also selfish because as a member of the media, I would love to see, hey, if it doesn't work out, I'd love to be there talking about that too. That's another reason I like to see him come here. But I do think the talent is just so much talent there.
You only get them one day a week for 10 minutes if you're lucky.
Now, you got to be dogging the man because he has a trouble staying healthy. He's got some problems with the health issue. Everyone knows that. Although, he was pretty healthy with the Jets, wasn't he? He just didn't do anything.
Well, yeah, that's because Geno Smith was throwing to him. And I'm a Jet fan, and I didn't want Percy Harvin to come in there.
How did you become a Jet fan?
I grew up in New York.
Why not the Giants? They were good when you were a kid, weren't they?
I loved Boomer Esiason, and I use loved because I'm not a fan anymore. But I was a big Al Toon fan growing up.
Al Toon was a hell of a receiver.
Yeah, he was.
Who was the other wide receiver on that team with Toon?
Was it Duper? No,
it was a little guy. What the hell was his name? I'm drawing a blank on it.
So am I.
Wasn't Rob Moore on that team a bit?
That's not who I'm thinking of, though. All right, wait a minute.
Kevin Mathis.
You'll have to Google it.
It might be. Al Toon and... it would have been Al Toon and... He went to Wisconsin, right?
He did, as did his son.
What's his son doing?
He was a wide receiver for Wisconsin.
Oh, I mean, he's not in the NFL now, though, his son.
No, I don't believe so.
All right, 85 to 92. I just can't remember who the other guy was that I'm trying to think of. Damn you! Damn you, Dave Schwartz!
Sorry.
You had to bring that up.
Tangent.
Oh, he's on their Jets all-time four-decade team.
Well, they haven't had a whole lot in four decades, let's be honest.
Three-time Pro Bowler, three-time All-Pro. AFC.
In the last decade and a half, they've stunk.
AFC Player of the Year in 1986.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember, and he had a great name, too.
Al Toon.
Al Toon.
How did you not?
He's Al Toon Jr. Yeah. Albert Lee Toon Jr. Was Boomer his quarterback for very long?
Oh, years of it, I don't know. At least a couple.
Did he have Vinny, too?
He could have. No, Vinny came later.
Was he later? Who the heck
Vinny
else would he have?
Vinny was before they drafted Mark Sanchez, I think.
Did he have Kenny, the guy that was drafted with, who's the guy that was drafted with Elway and Marino? Ken, what the hell is his name?
No, you're not Bobby Britt, not Brister.
No, not Brister. There was Ken, hold on a minute, God dang you.
We have too many names we're not remembering now.
No, because you had to pull out this Al Toon name, and now you got me going crazy here. It was a quarterback who came out.
Ken O'Brien.
Ken O'Brien was the guy. That's right. He had to be there then because he was drafted
was
in the early
Google,
80s.
By the way, that was just coming from the depths of my brain.
Well, you're a Jets fan. I would hope. Hey, did you ever hear of a guy named Joe Namath? He played for him, too.
Yeah, well, he did. Sadly, people know him for his later transgressions now more than they did his earlier stuff. At least the kids.
There is truth to that. Hey, give me your quick overview of where the Wild are going to be heading the rest of the way here.
You know, we talked a lot about this on Sunday. I see that their schedule is difficult, but I think they're going to bounce back. I don't think Colorado lost as much. I think at this point their confidence is so high. I actually predicted on Sunday that I thought Dubnyk would pick up at least, I'm going to go off of what I remember, but at least 9 more wins, and then they get to the point where they have to figure out whether they want to sit in the last 3-4 games of the season and get them rested for the playoffs. That's where I think they are right now. I think the conference is starting to open up a bit. They're getting a little more comfortable. I really don't think that this team can be shaken, barring a injury to Devin Dubnyk and having to call Darcy Kuemper back in or Nick Backstrom. Well, I think this team's doing well.
Let me ask you about that, though. Why do you think they'll have it locked up, a spot absolutely locked up with three games to play? Because I think they're going to be in a position where they're going to either want to be fighting to maintain or to get that first wild card spot, or think they're in a position to catch Chicago for the third spot. I think they're going to be scrambling to keep getting better and getting a better playoff position, depending on what the matchup would be. So I don't know if this guy's going to get a break. They got to give him some break.
Keep scrambling because, you know, the higher you get, the better on. But if you have three games to go and you at least know you're in the playoff picture, don't you want to make sure that he gets a couple of days off before you...
He had plenty of days off before he got here. Months? Suck it up, pal. That's what I say. Let him just play him. I mean, unless he's showing signs of fatigue.
He's not.
I wouldn't rest him.
He's just fine.
And he seems like he can handle it. You don't want to also take the chance of not playing him, and then you see that suddenly he, not playing, he loses his edge.
That's true, too. And that's what we debated on Sunday. We went back and forth on it.
Well, Dave,
I don't think we ever came up with an answer.
Well, we'd come up with an answer, but we have to go now because we have Cullen Leffler coming up, who's re-signed with the Vikings. Dave, love talking to you. You don't know what the hell you're talking about with Percy Harvin, but that's okay. I'm kidding. Hey, that's great that we have differing opinions on that. That's wonderful. Dave Schwartz from the number 11. Catch him on Sundays 10 to 11. Bench warmers with Jill Hammy. He's got his first month anniversary. They're gonna split a Twinkie.
And talk about Altoon. It'll be a great Sunday.
It is a great name, Altoon. All right, he's all tuned up for Sunday. We'll talk to you later. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, take it easy. We are going to come right back, talk to Cullen Leffler, Vikings long snapper. No offense, Cullen, still the second best long snapper in team history. I think they had a guy before Mike Morris who was better. No. Mike was as good as they get. We're going to take a quick break. And when we return, like I say, talk to Cullen Leffler, just signed a one-year deal with the Vikings. Get his take on what's happening with the Vikes when we return. You know, our guest here, I think, knows music, so I hope he likes his walk-up, talk-up music. The Vikings, one of their latest signings, a guy who has been with them, longest tenured long snapper in team history, entering his 25th season with the Vikings, Cullen Leffler. Not quite 25, though. It's close, though, right?
Yeah, it would be great if it was 25. That'd be amazing.
What is it now? Is it 13?
This will be 12.
12, okay. I don't mean to push it, but it'll be 13 after you do it again next year.
Absolutely. That'd be great.
Hey, Colin, how much fun is it to know that you're coming back? I mean, I didn't think there was ever any doubt, but do you get a little antsy as it gets close and you wonder, are we going to get it done?
I didn't get antsy this year, but I definitely wanted to come back with the Vikings. I've thoroughly enjoyed my career with the Vikings, and I was just happy that we were able to get a deal done here.
And you also, I mean, you are now the longest tenured, right? I don't think there's nobody else that's been with them that long. Chad hasn't been with them that long, has he? Chad
Green? No, not at all. I was actually the longest tenured last year, so I definitely am the longest tenured this year.
Well, there's got to be. You know what? Then when you are done in a few, you can become the team historian. You can help Fred Zamberletti.
Yeah, between me and Fred, we'll have to figure out a way to split up the boiler room office.
How exciting is it after coming off last year and seeing what the potential and what Teddy's capable of to get ready for this next season?
It's really exciting. I mean, to have a young rookie or just a young man rookie come in and do the things that he did, it's really promising. It's really hard for quarterbacks to come in and do the things that Teddy did in their first year, and he did a tremendous job for us. He's only going to get better, and we really got a lot of great things falling into place, it's going to be a bright year for the Vikings this coming year.
Well, we're talking to Vikings long snapper, the superstar Cullen Leffler. I don't think Mike will mind too much if we lend you his name.
We'll have to ask him, but let's tell him we appreciate it.
you didn't last year. You had passed him in terms of longevity as a long snapper with the Vikings, right? He was 11, I think.
Did.
Yeah, so that's, or 10.
I
he
did.
Was.
Yeah. I passed him last year. That's right.
That's right. So I think you could call yourself anything you want. You've got you certainly have the longevity. Now, are you in case they need you? You when before you were a long snapper, you were a tight end, right?
Sure.
Have you told Norv Turner, you know what, I can still catch the ball. Have you let him know you're available if he needs you?
You know, Norv and I joke around quite a bit, but I haven't actually gone and told him that. But if it was worst-case scenario, I mean, you could definitely throw me in there, and I'll catch anything, but I probably won't run away from too many people.
Well, you know what? Just catching it is not a bad thing either, even if you happen to go down. Now, are you're down in Texas now, or are you up? You're not up here now, right?
No. I'm down in Texas, down in Austin, Texas, in my hometown.
How much? Because obviously, if you're down in Austin, I know that you know you're not like right outside of where Dallas is. But have there been a lot of talk and a lot of news stories about the Cowboys and their interest in AP, or is it pretty quiet from what you've seen?
In my area, it's been really quiet. I really haven't seen that buzz. So. I don't really have much to add on it. I honestly just haven't seen much of it.
How far is Austin from Dallas?
It's a good 3 hours. It's quite removed, actually.
Are you closer to Houston?
I'm closer to Houston. That's exactly
okay.
Right.
Austin, and I remember it was a few years ago. Wasn't it voted like the most livable city in the country? It's a beautiful city.
Oh, it's been expanding like crazy. It's I think in the last six to eight years, it's tripled in size. You can imagine that.
So you grew up there, right?
My wife did. I grew up in what's called Hunt, Texas, just a small camping town.
Now, while your family was involved in politics, is your family still involved in politics in Texas?
My dad, he still is in and around in Texas and in our nation's capital as well.
Is your dad a congressman?
He was a congressman for 8 years, U.S. representative.
Well, what are you waiting for? When your career ends, you go right into politics?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think I'll be going into politics. I like to be an entrepreneur, man. I like to go into maybe just become a small business owner.
Well, you know, Colin, we talked to you.
I'm not planning on my career ending. Anytime soon.
No. I'm not suggesting that, but you know, it doesn't hurt to get things going. Now, you were involved, and so we talked to you last year, and you had you did have a business going. How's that going? Is it still?
Yeah, absolutely. We became a co-owner of Minnesota Ice Sculptures. We've been doing a lot of great things. We've really established a great infrastructure, and we made a life-size Malibu boat for the Minnesota Boat Show, and have done numerous things. And if anyone would or needs an ice sculpture for St. Patty's Day or Easter, give us a call, Minnesota Ice Sculptures, and we'll make it happen. Absolutely.
Well, do you do this year round? Or do you mean because obviously ice is easier to work with in winter, but you're not doing it. You're not just doing them outside.
No, we're not just doing them outside, but we definitely can do it year round. We like to think that if you can imagine. We can build it. So, the boat at the Minnesota Boat Show was a great test for us, but we were able to do it to scale and had a great time doing it. And it got quite a review and turned out as a really nice project.
Talking to Colin Loeffler, Vikings long snapper, just signed a 1-year deal. Colin, honestly though, when you do something like that and it starts to melt, do you get weepy? Because it's a work of art, but it's not something you could, unless you send it up to the North Pole or Antarctica.
It is a work of art, but it just puts your party over the top. I mean, people love to take pictures with those sort of things, and a lot of people like the luges and. It just makes it fun, and it just adds another element.
What is for like a wedding or whatever party other than the boat? What's the most fun thing your company's done for an ice sculpture? The one you said, wow, that's something.
Well, we did a really neat ice bar for Bachman's for a demo, and it was amazing because we froze flowers into the base. To the actual pedestals of the bar, and then drilled holes in the top where you can set your drinks down. It chills your drinks and have like tiered levels, and it was really intricate and really turned out nice.
So, and where did they put it? They put it at one of their stores. They have it outside.
One of their stores, and it was actually at the Lindale location.
Now, is there technology yet, or maybe your company needs to come up with it, so that anything you do, you know, like how you could put lights on something, you can put something that'll just keep it frozen to,
that would require just making a plastic mold.
Make a plastic mold that looks like ice. Could be onto something there, Cullen.
Maybe so. We'll have to talk it over. My partner and I, Robbie Harrell, will have to talk it over.
You can't really ship anything like this, right? What do you ship it in dry ice?
Sure you can, but it just, you know, the distance does become a factor, but you can pack it with dry ice and that sort of thing and ship it, you know, short distances.
Well, I'm looking at a picture.
We'd like to be able to ship it long distance, so we'll see.
Well, we'll do anything we can to help. Now, I'm looking at a picture that Brian Murphy did a story on this. Actually, it was at the end of January, and there's a picture of you holding the big M.
Brian referred to me as X-Long Snapper, so I guess I'm back to Long Snapper. I'll have to change the next one.
That son of a bitch. Well, now that you're back, though, he can't do that. You're right. But that thing, you've got the white M inside of it. What is that, or is that ice, too? That's just
That's snow packed into the actual carving inside of the ice. So on the back,
that's pretty good.
You basically carve a mirror image, and then to make the letters pop, because it's actually you have the clear ice, and then you have the snow packed lettering, so it makes it a brighter white, and you can see the contrast.
Now it looked to be about a 2x2. Is that about right?
That's right.
All right. What does something like that go for? I mean, is that real pricey, or is that?
No, something like that would be anywhere from, you know, I mean, it's pricey, I guess, $175 to $225. Not outrageous.
Honestly,
not
Cullen, cheap. I would have thought it was more expensive than that.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, it looked.
You would.
So it's.
But it's not as much as you would think. It is pretty intricate in the detail and the actual process to make it, but it certainly set the party off, and we love being able to do it for the Vikings, you know, whenever they want it, because we actually that M, I think that same M was used for the taste of the Vikings.
Oh, all right.
And quite a few people were able to get some good selfies with it, and we actually took some good shots with it, myself and Blair and Jeff and Audie Cole and Michael Motti. It was a lot of fun.
Now, talking to Cullen Leffler, the Vikings long snapper, just signed a 1-year deal. Do you know, like on the side of cigarettes is the Surgeon General's warning? Is there a warning? Like, for instance, do not put the big Vikings M on your mantle with the fire going, because if you put it there at 9 o'clock at night, when you wake up in the morning, it'll just be water.
Yeah, it'll just be water. No, we don't.
Are people smart enough?
No, people are smart enough. We use drain trays for any of our sculptures, so you don't.
It doesn't make a mess.
About anything.
Colin, you got it all figured out. It goes without saying.
Which I don't, but we try to. We try to.
Well, Colin, we appreciate you taking the time. Best of luck with the Vikings again this year. Looking forward to seeing you there, and with the ice sculpture. Hopefully, tell you what, the real test is you could keep this thing cooking throughout summer, and you do, because you see a lot of people kind of like ice sculptures in summer.
Well, you got to cool down somehow, but the main thing that we'd like to do is maybe the NFL or one day, and after we win, after the Vikings win the Super Bowl, we'll be able to make a, you know, 10-foot tall
Lombardi trophy
to display in the middle of Minneapolis.
It's a great idea. You actually, you need to get the NFL to hire you now to do that, so people can look at. I mean, that would be the Lombardi Trophy, 10 feet tall, leading into the new stadium for the Super Bowl when it's here. It'd be enormous.
Man, that would be great. We'd love to do it, but let's try and make it happen this year, huh? And next, and 2018 as well. But
Colin, that all depends.
Happen every year.
As long as you don't snap the ball over your holder's head or your punter's head, you'll be fine.
That's right. That's right. Just got to get back to the drawing board and get Jeff and Blair ready to go and work on getting downfield, making a play every now and then.
You're all fired up. I love that. Cullen Leffler.
I'm pumped.
Cullen, it's great talking to you. Cullen Leffler, Vikings long snapper. Superstar Cullen Leffler, borrowing it from Mike. Hope he's not pissed. But we'll Cullen, take it easy. Thanks so much.
All right, thanks for having me on 105 The Ticket.
That's my guy. Take care, Colin.
You too.
All right, bye. We're gonna come right back, talk to Tim Lammers. Tim's syndicated movie journalist. Catch him on Care 11, News at 11. You also can catch him on Tom Bernard's his show on digital radio. And he's got his own website, directconversations.com. Come right back, talk some sports movies with Tim Lammers.
Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show. Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
We are joined by Tim Lammers, syndicated movie journalist, reviews on Care 11, News at 11 on Fridays, Monday on the Tom Bernard Show on digital radio, appears on KQ, and also you can find him on his website, directconversations.com. Tim, how are you?
Hey, Bob, I feel like I'm getting a workout every time you play the Eye of the Tiger. I'm sparring with my buddy.
Well, I think, David, until you tell him otherwise, that's what he's going to keep giving
you. I love
you.
It, man. Right. It's perfect.
It is a good one. A very good one. Now, Tim, we talked briefly about this spring training.
Yeah.
You know, I've been watching, you know, I've got a lot of the, you know, networks. I got DirecTV and a lot of the different shows. There's a lot of Remember the Titans being replayed. It's football.
Football
coming up, too. But I haven't seen, like, a lot of great baseball movies, although... I mean, you're going to see the Field of Dreams is going to show up, and The Natural was on last week.
Yeah.
Which one? Do you have a favorite, like a dark horse favorite, too, for people that really like, you know, want to get into baseball and a movie to put them in the mood?
Well, you know, I there's a couple. I mean, first of all, it feels doesn't it finally feel like spring outside today? I mean, it feels like baseball.
Marsh Hallberg just came in, and he said that we should be doing the show outside today because it's beautiful. And he's right. He'll be with us in the next segment, Marsh Hallberg from Hallberg Criminal Defense. I was out a little bit earlier today, and it's rejuvenating.
Yeah, it really is. You know, it's funny. I guess this movie came up last week for an odd sort of reason, but I was talking with somebody about, because there were a couple lackluster films that at the box office, and they said, well, what else can we see? And I was saying, you know, baseball season, and we were talking about Harrison Ford just before that. I was saying, why not 42? I mean, if you've never seen 42, and being that Harrison's in the news lately,
yes,
this is a film, I think you'll probably agree with me, Bob, this really shows that he can act.
He was terrific in it.
Yeah, he is. And, you know, he plays a character. It's one of those very few movies where he actually plays a character. I mean, I think you and I and a lot of people probably think, you know, the guy is so larger than life. He plays an extension. He seems like an extension of Han Solo in real life, you know, because he's so cool. He seems like an extension of Indiana Jones because he survives plane crashes, you know, walks away, you know. But this really showed how tremendous of an actor he is. And honestly, I thought that it was not this year's Oscars, but the Oscars the year before. I thought he was so good that he should have been nominated for Best Supporting Actor that year, again, for playing Branch Rickey.
You know, it's difficult. Sports movies, they don't pile up nominations. I mean, Rocky actually did pretty damn good. That's, you know, when it got Best Picture. And I think did they get Best Director for Avildsen, too?
Yeah, John G. Avildsen. And, you know, it's kind of funny, and if I can just, you mentioned that name. I did see The Karate Kid the other day, and the good one, you know, the one with Ralph Macchio, who was like 28 at the
yes.
time and looks like he's 16. He directed that as well. And, boy, he really has a handle on the underdog meets triumph sorts of movies, doesn't he?
Yes.
So, yeah, and I believe he won the Best Director Oscar and won Best Picture, and Stallone, if he ever had a shot at winning, it came and went with Rocky. But, you know, he was good. I mean, he was Rocky. He fit the part.
As a matter of fact, speaking of that movie was just on the other night, too, and I watched it again. I mean, it's a movie you never tire of watching.
Right. And you know, clearly he doesn't get tired of playing the character. That last movie he did of the character, Rocky Balboa, was actually pretty good.
It was.
And the word is that not only is he going to try to churn out one more Rambo movie, he's going to try to churn out one more Rocky movie, and I can't wait to see what it is. My expectations for Rocky Balboa were very low. I mean, I think the franchise started to wane after the, you know, around the fourth film and kind of got political, and then the fifth film, you know, took him back to the old neighborhood. But there was a real big surprise with Rocky Balboa. And, you know, I trust that he will do the character justice again whenever that film will come out. Who knows how long it'll be.
I thought they were already working on it because I think that he manages Apollo Creed's grandson.
Oh, you're right. You're right, Bob.
I think it's coming out. They might have already finished they're working on filming it.
Yeah, yeah. It takes these things a long time to put together, but I'll have to look that up quick. But yeah, you know, so at least he's making an effort, you know, to kind of develop the story a little bit, you know. And that makes total sense. You know, with the thing with Apollo Creed's grandson, you know, in a way kind of returning the favor to Creed, although he did, in a way, during the Rocky film series. You know, this is kind of a way to pass the torch, if you will, to the next generation.
Now, Tim, let me ask you, because you obviously, Tim Lammer is a syndicated movie journalist. He's on Care 11, the Tom Bernard Show, has his own website, directconversations.com. Of all the things happening in Minnesota now with sports, the Adrian Peterson situation, Devin, you know, you can look at Devin Dubnyk, a team, the Twins, coming off of 4 90 loss seasons, now have a new manager. What storyline in Minnesota would make the best movie and might actually have a chance of being produced? Is it the AP story? Is it you know, something with somebody, you know, a gopher, or is there anything that stands out in your mind that would be a pretty good story?
That's really tough to say. I mean, you know, if you look at the Adrian Peterson situation. I mean, obviously the guy, you know, didn't play last year. He has a lot to prove coming back. At the same time, he got paid a lot of money for not doing anything.
True.
We've seen that dramatic swing with the Twins before, where they went from worst to first. I mean, everybody loves those sorts of comeback stories. So for me, I think at this point, because they've been in a slump for so long, to have this new manager come back, you know, come into the fold with Paul Molitor, not come back. I mean, he's been part of the organization, you know, all this time. But to have Torrey Hunter come back, you know, to have these people try to come back and make something out of nothing, essentially, at this point. I think that would be the best dramatic story. Say, if this team can, you know, have a surge, and we've seen it before. They've gone worst to first. If they could do that again, that would be the sort of movie that I would like to see.
It would be. And who would play Molitor? You need a 58-year-old guy to play him, and I think that Harrison Ford's a little too old.
Would Mark Harmon fit in that category?
Mark Harmon could fit very well because he was an athlete himself. Former quarterback at UCLA, right?
Right, right. Yeah, wrong sport, but, you know, he's
doesn't matter, still an athlete. I bet he played some baseball, too. Well, yeah. You want baseball? Kurt Russell. He's already played one Minnesota icon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he played Herb Brooks.
What would you think would be the best sports movie concept for a Minnesota franchise?
It would, you know what? I think the Adrian Peterson thing would have to play itself out yet to see where it goes. But does I mean, I think people would just be stunned. That the scene where he took the switch to his kid would be one of the most shocking scenes in of the year for a movie.
Sure.
I don't think but the Devin Dubnyk story would be pretty good, too.
Uh-huh.
You know, a goalie who is pretty much, you know, down on his luck. And a team that was down on his luck, and he comes here, and they would have to win the Stanley Cup to make it worthwhile.
Sure.
Although, the way Hollywood works, doesn't matter them winning the Stanley Cup anyway.
Although, you and I both know that there will never be a better hockey movie than Slapstick.
No.
Or Slapshot. Which has Slapstick in it.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Yeah. But, no. You know, thinking about Peterson, obviously, isn't it funny? I mean, he did have a really great movie type of situation with the comeback with his knee injury.
Yes, that was a good one.
And then, of course, yeah, this one. I think this current situation that he's in, it would be very tough for anybody to buy into that, I think.
Few athletes have ever had a higher high as he did, coming off the knee injury, almost breaking the NFL single-season rushing record, and a lower low that did not involve murder.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because this was pretty low what happened to him.
I agree. And you know, and I don't know if you feel this way, but in some sorts of ways, it feels surreal yet, especially when you saw that first mugshot of his and he's smiling.
That was weird.
And I'll have to tell you, Bob, ironically, I was listening to you and Mike Morris on The Ticket, and that's how I found out about it.
I remember it was a Friday, and we were at a Wild Bills, and all of a sudden it came across the wire. Hey, by the way, there is, Tim, before we wrap up, there is some Adrian Peterson news. He met last night in New York with Vikings owners Ziggy and Mark Wolf and general manager Rick Spielman. Second time that he's met with team officials, but the first time he's met with the Wilfs. And this was to find out exactly where he is and exactly where they can go with him. So I would say that that meeting has set the course for whatever happens with AP. And I also believe if something's going to happen, it's going to happen this week. Because if they're going to trade him, teams would have to have the cap space to make it work. And he would be open, I'm sure, to a trade if it was, if it was financially beneficial to him to redo his deal.
Well, you know, Bob, I mean, obviously we'll never see a movie about it, but there's no denying it's created a lot of drama, hasn't it?
Absolutely no doubt about that.
Yeah, so it's like a movie playing out before our eyes, I guess.
Yes.
Very unpredictable.
That's a good way to put it. Tim, thanks. As I said every week, our time flies. Love talking about movies with you. Tim Lammers, syndicated movie journalist, reviews on Care 11, News at 11 on Fridays. Mondays on the Tom Bernard Show, his digital radio show. Also, you can see him on KQ. He also has a website, directconversations.com. Tim, it's a joy to talk to you.
Thank you, Bob. We'll talk next week.
Okay, take care.
Have a great week.
You too.
See ya.
And now we take a quick break and come back with Marsh Hallberg from Hallberg Criminal Defense. His sports law segment on 105 The Ticket, brought to you by Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock Systems. If you need to drive, they can help. And Marsh has a great story to tell us. We talked about murder. Murdering of an athlete. And not an athlete that, well, you'll hear about it. It's an athlete that was one of the best in the world, now gone from among us. Be right back with Marsh Hallberg.